This morning's Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7, which can be found on page 592 of your pew Bible if you would like to read along. As you may remember from other times that we have been in the book of Isaiah, it is a book that we have compiled into one, but is really three. Our passage this morning is from 2 Isaiah, when the Judeans are in exile and have been for so long that they feel like there is no way out. Isaiah is speaking to God's people in this space once again to say, "The Lord is still with you," and has a call for all of us. So listen closely. And let us all listen closely as we listen now for the word of the Lord. "Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward will be with the Lord.' And now the Lord says, 'Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength.' He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be a servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord. There are some shows that, even though they're supposed to be based 60 plus years ago, seem simply timeless in other ways as they develop the personalities of each of the characters. One of these shows that came out recently that I will admit is a show that I have been very fascinated with is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Has anyone else here ever seen this show or been fascinated by it? It is a show, the person who wrote the show is the same person who wrote The Gilmore Girls, which is a show I grew up with. The writing is very fast. It's about a woman who lived in the late 50s, early 60s, and is coming to terms with the fact that she is trying to be a comedian and is very talented in this, but has to face a world where the idea of a young mother being a comedian is not very popular. And what does this mean for her Jewish family? What this means for her life in the world, what it means trying to break in to this career where she apparently has quite a bit of talent, and all the chaos that ensues with that. And so trying to break into this career, trying to make a living for herself in it. She finds herself in a break while she is touring with a popular singer of the time. And so she starts doing radio commercials. And so as she is studying one day a script to do a commercial for a politician, her father comes in and finds her reading over the script. And he looks at it and he says to her, "Do you know anything about this politician?" And she says, "Dad," or she says, "Papa," she calls him Papa. "Papa, it's only a job. I've got to do what I got to do to make the ends meet." And he starts telling her some of the things that this politician stands for. And one of them is that she is very much against the Jewish people. Now, Madge, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, had thought, not knowing anything, what a great thing. This is a woman politician in our times. She must be a trailblazer. But after doing some research and reading, she sees that this woman is very much against the very people who she is. But yet the time to do the show is that night, and what is she going to do? And she doesn't know, and this is a paycheck, and it's going to pay very well. And she is torn. So she goes. And she starts doing the commercial, and it's a live commercial, it's live feed, and not even 2 seconds into the commercial, she says, "I can't do this." And the person who's working with her says, "What do you mean, honey?" and starts continuing on. And she uses some foul language and says, "This person stands for terrible things." And so her manager comes in trying to save the moment and starts reading the commercial and says, "What in the world?" And so they try to save it. And Madge goes back into her head to the conversation with her dad, and her dad says to her, "You have a voice now, dear. You have a voice. Use it wisely. You have a voice. Use it wisely." This is what we come to this morning in this passage from Isaiah. Isaiah has a number of prophetic calls in the book as a whole. It is not just once in each of the 3 books of Isaiah, but often throughout the book as a whole, serving not just as a reminder for his call, but also, perhaps, as something else for the people whom he is prophesying to as well. Maybe it's not just a reminder for him that he has a voice from God that he is called to use and use wisely. In a commentary on this passage, James H. Evans, Jr. put it this way: "The similarity between call narratives in the book of Isaiah and within the prophetic literature in general suggests that these narratives are more than the individual testimonies of a personal call to prophetic services. These narratives may reveal more about the communities out of which they emerged than about the individual to whom they are traditionally attributed." That is, their essential meaning may be more theological than historical. The similarities among these narratives might suggest that they are communal, theological confession, rather than an individual testimony. This possibility suggests that the prophetic call is more than an individual vocation. Rather, it is part of the theological affirmation of the community of God's election. So that's a lot of words to basically say that we are all given a prophetic voice. We are all to speak of the work of the Lord in the world. The way we do it will differ, and yet it is a call that is placed on each of us, especially on a world that continues to do what is right in its own eyes and does not know the Lord necessarily. This is the world. This is where the prophetic word of the Lord is to be heard. Now, I know some of you out there are saying the idea of getting up to anyone and saying words that are prophetic scares me. But that is sometimes where the idea of what St. Francis of Assisi comes into play, where he says, go out and speak the gospel to all nations, and if you have to, use your words. Because our actions can speak of God and God's love in ways that are bigger than our words sometimes. As it says in the passage from this morning, the Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. God made your mouth like a sharp sword. As you are called to speak on behalf of the Lord with a prophetic voice, the Lord will give you the tool to do so. Now, saying your mouth is a sharp sword doesn't always mean violence. It means that it'll be sharp enough to articulate what needs to be said. A pen is a sharp tool. The mouth, the tongue, can say things that can express what needs to be said as the word of the Lord. It can help to bring about great things that need to bring about change. As many of you may know, I am a huge fan of Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, who was a Presbyterian minister in this area, not far from here. Many years ago, back before I was even alive, there was a push to get rid of public television. And after 2 days of hearings, they were ready to pull the plug on testimonies. And at the last hour, Fred Rogers came up to be the last person to do his plea before Congress. And as he came forward, they said, we don't want to hear any more written down speeches. We can read those on our own time. Does anyone have anything to offer beside a written speech? And Fred Rogers says, I'm going to trust that you mean that, so I'm going to put my written statement aside. But I would like to talk to you about the importance of the work we do. And in a heartfelt speech, he talked about the importance of the work he did for children. And in sharing his words thoughtfully, with love, not just love for the children, not just love for the world as a whole, but love for this congressman who had not been showing necessarily love for the others who had come before. His words saved public television. Our tongues, when used in a prophetic way, our hearts, when given to the work of the Lord, all of this can be the way forward as prophets. The next section, it said, in the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. A polished arrow is something that draws attention because it is something that is beautiful in the way it shines, but can also be deadly when it is in the hands of an experienced archer and is used by the archer in a proper way. If you are a prophet in the quiver of the Lord, powerful things can be done. Kept in the shelter of the Lord until ready to be used is a promise of protection. Being drawn out, pulled back, and put into action means that you will be used, and it will be quite a journey. Not always a fun one, because if you look through scriptures and you see how prophets are used, it's not always fun. But boy, do they make great stories. And it also points to the fact that the arrow doesn't draw attention to itself. It draws attention and glory to the archer. As such, we are not called to bring glory to ourselves as prophets and servants of the Lord, but we are called to bring the glory to the Lord. And this is what the passage says when it continues with, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." If Evans is right, then the prophetic call is for all of us as well. And we are to do this in a way that brings glory to God. This is our prophetic call as children of God. This is our prophetic call as servants of the Lord. We are called, we are equipped, we are loved. In this way, we are to be in this world now, speaking up against the injustices and speaking up for the voiceless, the oppressed, the orphans, the widows. We are to be using the prophetic voice like Jesus did, being present with those who are homeless and hopeless, and helping those who others do not even see. We are to be with those who are rich in things and poor in spirit, and to be with those who are poor in things and needing the Lord. And we are to use our voices to speak up about these injustices, to speak against the principalities, as the book of Romans would call them, and hold them in this space. This is all of our prophetic calls, as we are the servants of the Lord. How we live these calls out will differ from person to person, but we are all called to live it. Some may live it out through being vocal seekers of justice for the oppressed and participating in rallies and seeking justice in those ways. Others may seek to do it by sitting with people in their struggles and truly listening in ways that others have never done before. This is truly a gift of great mercy. Others may do it through prayer, sending cards, being present in that work. Others may do it through visiting and going to schools and doing those things, whatever it may do. Others may seek it out in very visible ways in all that they do and say, whatever it may be, it is a call to seek and speak justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, while always bringing glory to his name. Every small prophetic move is a move to the glory of the Lord, toward the kingdom of God, and to a life that is closer to the life God has envisioned for the people of God. So friends, on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and heck, on every day of our life, may we remember the voices that God has blessed us with. Sometimes the voice may be the one thing we don't need at that moment. But may we thank God for these voices. May we use them prophetically, and may we do it always, always, for the glory of our Lord. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer, amen.